Zone. From farm to fork and everything in between, we cover it all. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Well, today is the day that a total eclipse is going to cover us all. Later this afternoon, as a matter of fact, here in Wisconsin. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Monday. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Jahnke. Glad that you're starting it with us. It's going to be a little difficult to see that total eclipse in Wisconsin, at least vividly. Cloudy skies on the way today. 63 are expected high. Winds out of the south-southwest 10, gusting up to 20 miles an hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 60 degrees. Wednesday, partly cloudy and 68. Before Thursday brings us more rain showers and 59. Friday, partly cloudy, 57 degrees. Now, I pride myself on being able to tell a story relative to Wisconsin agriculture or food production about pretty much any subject. What do you think I came up with when it comes to the total eclipse and Wisconsin agriculture? Let me just say, beedars. Beedars. More details on how our Wisconsin beekeepers are going to watch the little animals they're in charge of and their reaction on the total eclipse coming up later this morning. Stephanie Hoff is also going to check in. Agriculture labor becomes so very critical at this time of the year when we're getting ready to hit the field. Trying to keep all your players engaged in the goal of the farm can be a challenge. She's going to visit with one of the experts that's been coaching farms on how to not only keep their employees, but enhance their employees' experience. Stick around for that. And we all love to experience real dairy in Wisconsin, right? Whether it's our milk, whether it's our butter, maybe it's our cheese, whatever it is, Wisconsin still prides itself on being America's dairyland, but it does not come without assistance from great researchers. Ken Hyman is a cheesemaker up in Marshfield at Nasonville Dairy. He's also a past member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board, and he wants to visit with me this morning about the Center for Dairy Research on the UW-Madison campus and how it's helped make Wisconsin America's dairyland. Stick around, those stories and more on the way.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Agriculture is different all over the world. While our climate forces us to have barns for protection for our animals and machinery, in places like Costa Rica, not a lot of barns as their temperatures remain very warm all year long. I'm Bob Bosol from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, and on a recent visit to Costa Rica, we talked to Oscar Vargas, an ag expert from Costa Rica. And he told us they don't need a lot of barns, but they need a lot of immigrants. They're a big part of his country, and they come from many places, but most are from close by.
Basically, we are combined with all different ethnic groups, all different mountains, microclimates. We have two oceans.
What is the immigrant situation all about?
Most of the immigrants are coming from Nicaragua or country next door up north. We have immigrants from Honduras, but basically Costa Ricans are the result of all different ethnic groups. We are a mix of people from Europe, from North America, South America, Asia. So Costa Rica is so diverse in ethnic groups, but most of the immigrants are coming from Nicaragua.
Tell me about agriculture, because as we traveled through the country, we saw different types of agriculture. We saw cattle, the crops. What goes on here agriculturally?
In agriculture, well, we are the largest exporter of pineapples in the world, second largest exporter of bananas. We have products that are non-traditional that people never heard about in some cases, like chayote, which is called one of the cucurbitaces, important for the diet of a lot of Costa Ricans. So we have a lot of non-traditional products. We have large production of fruits as well, rice that is mainly consumed in the country. But so it's so diverse, so we don't base our agriculture in one crop. And coffee, we're number 15 in the world in production of coffee. We don't produce that much, but we produce quality.
talk about the types of people, because you mentioned the pineapples, and there's sugar cane growing here now. We get our country. Hawaii, of course, used to be years ago the leader in both. Have the major companies come in here and put in sugar plantations, pineapple plantations? Are they local farms? And how do they market it? Who's growing it, who's producing it, and who's processing it?
A bit of both. Large corporations like Dole, Del Monte have big farms here for those crops I told you. But also small producers are, in the past, they were selling the products to the big corporations. Nowadays, because of all the access to internet, they can sell straight through, cutting the middleman. So they can make more money, and they can make a good production and make it profitable.
Are there places where it's increasing in production of pineapples, sugar cane, or are we limited by geography or by population or communities moving out into the country? Is it growing?
So it's growing, especially pineapples is growing in different areas that used to be dedicated to cattle and also rice. In the past, we used to produce more than 100% of the rice consumed in the country. Nowadays, it's about 50% we only produce. The rest of that, it's got to be introduced. But most of the fields, bananas are not increasing in territory, but pineapples are taking territory that used to be used for cattle, especially.
Now, pineapple is very labor-intensive, especially with the picking. Is that a lot of the migrants are coming in to do that from Nicaragua, or will some of the native Costa Ricans do that? That's a hard job.
Oh, yes, it is, and especially because you have to do it under all the elements. If it's raining, you got to work under the rain. If it's sunny and hot, so same thing. Most of the job is done by immigrants, because Costa Rica, as we have good education, which is a very good key to succeed, are very much having jobs in call centers and all IT, so all different industries that require less effort. So all this hole created by the lack of workers in the fields must be filled with immigrants, especially from Nicaragua.
We see American influence over here, other countries' influence over here, with some pretty big companies. How has that affected the Costa Rican economy and the importance that you have in Costa Rica on education? How does that work?
Well, the importance of all these multinationals that based in Costa Rica is the fact that we can have better jobs, better opportunities. So far, Costa Rica is doing very good with the economy. It's more expensive than the other countries in Latin America, but at the same time, salaries are better. There's opportunities, there's less unemployment, very low rates. Multinationals are a great opportunity for everyone to get all those benefits. And for them, it's very good because educated people are easy to train in different jobs, different positions, already having a second language, English, which is the most important. And they are so pleased to base operations here because, again, we have no army, we have no internal conflicts, and it's win-to-win situation.
And education is a top priority. It's a must, in other words.
Absolutely, yes. Education is the only key to be successful. You have to be prepared to be more professional than an intense worker. So you have to have all the different skills, and that's important in different companies and different levels, also to select your leaders.
Oscar, as we have driven around your country and seen the coffee up on the hillsides, the mountains, and we've seen sugar cane and we've seen pineapples, we also see a lot of cattle around here. Is it mostly beef? Do we have much for dairy? And what kind of breeds of cattle? A lot of these long-eared Brahman crosses.
Depending on where you are, if you're in the lowlands, will be mainly Brahman for beef. You have also Angus, Brangus, Indo Brazil, so different breeds. In the highlands, Holstein and Jersey for the production of milk. So dairy farms are in the highlands because better temperature, lower temperature is good for those breeds. And so you have the mix of all those dairy cattle.
Do you own a heavy coat or a hooded sweatshirt? What's the coldest you've ever seen it here in Costa Rica?
Oh, boy. I've never seen snow. That's for sure. Lowest temperature would be like 50.
Beautiful people, beautiful country, and it is very warm in Costa Rica with Oscar Vargas, the man who taught us an awful lot about the country. I'm Bob Bosold.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And from Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member-focused, member-driven, member-led. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Fabulous Farm Babe, on Instagram at Fab Farm Babe, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we get you the spring supplies you need because we get you. For farms and projects of any size, find the right products at the right prices. Like select sizes of AgriMaster stock tanks, $149.99, 10% off culverts, poly pipes, and heavy-duty tubing. 60-inch King Cutter 3-point rotary tillers, $100 off in-store. Rewards members save $200. Plus, join us in Madison, Wisconsin for the Midwest Horse Fair. Stop by the Blaine's Farm and Fleet booths for discounts, giveaways, and more.
Have you been wanting to try non-surgical body sculpting but unsure where to start? We can help.
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
EmSculpt Neo is a game changer in the world of body contouring. With its dual technology of heat and magnetic energy, Neo can reduce fat by 30% and increase muscle mass by 25%. With Neo, you can enjoy simple, comfortable sessions and no downtime. You'll even feel stronger in just a few sessions. One patient recently said, "I can tell in my crunches and golf swing. I wish I had known about this sooner." This was after only 2 treatments. EmSculpt Neo is perfect for those looking to kickstart their fitness journey, enhance their athletic performance, or simply feel more confident in their own skin.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
To learn more, visit rejuvenationclinicofsaucprairie.com.
Roses are red, violets are blue, and you bet she'll be talking farming with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, everybody is talking about the total eclipse that's coming up later today. No matter where you are, you might get a chance to see a little bit of it. We're going to talk about that more with Stu Muck in just a moment. Farmers are being asked to pay attention to what happens with their livestock, with their animals, maybe even with your pets. University of Kentucky is conducting a survey. The Martin Gatton College of Agriculture, Food and Environment at the University of Kentucky is asking people to observe and record your livestock, your poultry, your pet, wildlife. You just don't know what they're going to do during a total eclipse. Some of the things that they have seen in the past, they said, included things like deviation in feeding or sleeping or movement, maybe vocalizations like singing or mooing, depending on the animal, obviously. Productivity generally goes down. They also say there's indications that the animals are a little confused about what's going on and don't know how to react. Beekeepers are also going to be keeping an eye on their hives. Wayne Stiegelman is a hobby beekeeper from Brown County, and he is part of a group that's working with Broodminder. That's BROODminder.com. What they've done is disperse what they're calling beedars across the United States to try to keep an eye on what bees do when the eclipse occurs.
They're working with the UW La Crosse, and they are putting what's called beedars, that's what measures the activity inside and outside the hive. They want to put as many as they can in the line of total eclipse totality. And I think it's from Texas going up to the northwest, because bees can't fly in the dark. So when it gets dark and especially totally black, they want to see what happens to the bees. In fact, they're even asking people with observation hives to watch.
I did not know that bees can't fly in the dark. There you go. That's one takeaway from today. Wayne Stiegelman from Brown County, a beekeeper himself. Now, this beedar that he's talking about, they actually have all kinds of dots on the map. If you go to broodminder.com and just try to follow their map, they've got literally these beedars that are going to map the bees' activity during the eclipse from, like you said, down by Texas all the way up to Maine. a nice straight line across there. So, like I said, a couple different folks that are paying attention to the upcoming eclipse. And if you want to be a part of it, remember again that University of Kentucky, Martin Guttann College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, they have a link there that would welcome your input as well. Let's kind of get some weather input now. It's Compere Financial Ag Weather Monday. Stumach Ag Meteorologist along with us. So were you planning on stopping for a moment to try to see if you observe the total eclipse?
We'll see what's going on at the time.
Yeah, I do think it's kind of interesting. One lady that was kind of talking about this said that she watched her herd of cattle when the eclipse started to unfold, and they just ran around in circles on the edge of the fence. So it might be noteworthy to pay attention to what happens to animals. I'll have to see what the Sheltie dog and Buck do. Probably both act, they're all going to act the same, I'm guessing. But it's going to be a little challenging in some parts of Wisconsin to see that total eclipse, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll add the two cats have been quite strange here this morning, but that's a whole different story.
Not relative to the eclipse just yet.
But I tell you, from what I'm seeing, southeast Wisconsin with the greatest chance of having clear skies this afternoon. Northwest Wisconsin, the least possibility of clear skies. There's rain in the north already today. Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids off to the northwest, back over toward central parts of Minnesota as well. In the south, the rain has ended for the time being. But low pressure is going to lift northeastward. In fact, almost up through Minnesota today and tonight. It extends a weak cool front toward Wisconsin that may account for a few showers, a little isolated light rain late tonight. That's about it. And I expect the sunshine will return through Tuesday into Wednesday. And although temperatures may drop a degree or two for tomorrow, they'll warm up again above normal. That's where we're going to be today. And even a little above normal Tuesday, more likely further above by Wednesday. And another possibility of some rain. Something could begin to brew Wednesday night into Thursday. And it looks like there could be a little rain measurable, not a great deal. I'll have forecast details right after this.
The mild weather we enjoyed in Wisconsin could add up to big pest problems for our crops this year. Steve Bailey is in Monroe, one of the Helena Agra advisors.
One thing I would challenge guys to think of, and a little bit of conversations I've been having this last month, is we didn't get a killing frost. And what I mean by that is a lot of these rootworm beetles didn't have that frost to really nip them off. So I would challenge everybody that's listening today, make sure that if you're corn on corn, you're running a traded corn and or maybe a granular insecticide, or if you have in-furrow starter, there's options there too. But I think guys are really going to want to take a very close look to their fields and follow the insect pressure that we're going to have this year.
Rootworms, just one of the insects to keep an eye on, according to Steve Bailey from Monroe, one of the Helena Agra reps. You can find out more and find your local Helena rep at helenaagri.com. All righty, buddy, let's have that forecast. The only eclipse the cats are seeing this morning is your shadow, but the rest of us kind of looking forward. We aren't going to see this again for what, another 20 years, huh?
20 years, yeah. So our Compere Financial Ag weather forecast for the eclipse is for mostly sunny skies in southeast Wisconsin, mostly cloudy in the northwest, and it'll ramp up from northwest to southeast. So the closer you are to southeast Wisconsin, the clearer it is today. Very low 60s today with the southwest winds 5 to 15, central and northwest Wisconsin. In fact, a few sprinkles yet this morning, should end a bit later on. Partly cloudy overnight, a slight chance of a little isolated light rain as we fall to the low 40s or a few upper 30s even with the southwest winds 5 to 10. Mostly sunny skies develop for Tuesday. A few clouds early, especially in the west. Upper 50s with west winds 5 to 15. And mostly sunny Wednesday, about 66, mid-60s, let's put it that way, with the southwest winds about 5 to 10. And I was going to add, Pam, I see 23 hundredths of an inch of rain at Madison yesterday, 42 hundredths in La Crosse area, only 6 hundredths over here in Beaver Dam and Fond du Lac area. Yeah. So not a big one.
I was surprised. Yeah, Linda from Reeseville, 2/10. I've got about 1/10 of an inch in Alto. We've got about 2/10 in Evansville. I was in Minnesota on Sunday, and man, it rained pretty good by the Rochester area. So yeah, quite a variation in the amount of precipitation we picked up across the state. Those rainfall reports always welcome, folks. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Thanks, Stu. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You got it. See you then.
Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture in rural America. Visit Compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
So I became a Farm Bureau member almost 20 years ago to be part of the state's largest ag advocacy group. Plenty of opportunities within Farm Bureau for somebody that's involved in agriculture, whether to grow their leadership or to help be a leader in an industry that we have a great passion for.
WFBF.com.
They've really helped my leadership develop.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, innovation. That's BioVet.
We're known for our sweet moves, but what you might not know is that we can store your stuff too. Yep, from one day to one year. We can hold on to your things on our trucks or in our warehouse. This is Brenda from Mad City Moving. We call that the unexpected storage move.
Mad City Moving dominates any move. Their crew will handle your things, well, like your things deserve to be handled. Online at madcitymoving.com.
Mad City Moving. You haven't seen moves like these before.
Tom from Tom's Auto Center. You know the colors of a stoplight. Red meaning alert, yellow meaning caution, green meaning it's safe to move forward. We use a similar system in our repair report, which you receive after every service. Red meaning it needs urgent attention, yellow meaning we have concerns, green meaning your vehicle is all good.
Tom's Auto Center, we're the getter fix, getter done to get you going, guys.
Off Highway 51 in McFarland, a stone's throw from McDonald's.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
Are you in a place where you seem healthy yet lose energy halfway through the day? Your doctor says to rest, but what's really happening?
At Carbon World Health, they look at the root causes, hormone and blood levels, nutrition and hydration, to help you get to a truly healthy place. Boost your energy and embrace your health journey with Carbon World Health, a hormone health and fitness spa.
Madison West and CarbonWorldHealth.com.
Cash and carry discounts and budget-friendly pricing from Wiseway makes completing your flooring project simple. Choose from luxury vinyl, tile, and selected carpet. Perfect for basements, sunrooms, garages, plus campers and trailers. I'm Jeremy Yenser of Wiseway Flooring, inviting you to visit our showroom in Watertown, Lake Mills, and Oconomowoc. See how our cash and carry products might be the right thing for you.
Commercial or residential, the wise have it. Log on to ineedflooringnow.com.
I'm Will Sweeta. As an engineer, we look for precision, quality, technical expertise, and products that solve long-term problems. It's what we do at Sweeta Metal Roofing.
Contact us about our eco-friendly and sustainable roofing.
I'm Mike.
Will.
And Mary Sweeta. Enjoy the long-lasting architectural strength and beauty of a Sweeta Metal Roof.
S-W-I-T-A, metalroofing.com.
Sweeta Metal Roofing, the last roof you'll ever need.
Landscapers count on Kalani Topsoil for our consistent quality shredded soil used on major projects. No sticks or rocks to rake out. In fact, it spreads out as smooth as butter and deliveries that are on time every time, so the work crew isn't standing around. Now that saves you time and money in the long run. Landscapes and landscapers love Kalani Topsoil.
Take it from a worm.
Trust the guys who know good dirt.
KalaniTopsoil.com.
Now that's good dirt.
The stage is set, the crowd is holding its breath, and here we go. The tip-off for tonight's meal is underway, and Spudley wastes no time dribbling that Wisconsin potato, sprinting to the kitchen, weaving around pots and pans, and making a clutch shot right in the oven during this thrilling dinner menu matchup. Now, here's a meal that's certainly living up to the hype. Celebrate your own victories in a big way.
High five, Spudley.
EatWisconsinPotatoes.com. And now a break from the Farm Report with Pam Yonke for a sports report.
So Matt LaFleur was like doing some podcasts, and he had said that he had no idea that Brian Gutekunst was shipping out Aaron Jones and bringing in Josh Jacobs. But like Aaron Jones, best player on the Packers, like your star player. Obviously Jordan loves emerging, but Aaron Jones, your constant. Is it weird that I found it weird that Matt LaFleur had no idea that his best player in Aaron Jones was getting shipped out to Minnesota?
Well, I think the term he used was it caught him off guard, Ebo. You know, and he said that at the owners' meetings a week or two ago. It is odd, and it shows a little bit of disconnect, I think, in the front office. I will say this though, you know, when it comes to roster building and putting that team together, it is entirely 100%, and maybe not everybody realizes this with the current structure of that organization, but that is all Brian Gutekunst. Now, you know, you would think he'd certainly want his head coach involved in some of these decision-making processes. But the thing, you know, free agency has a unique game, Ebo. It does go quick and it's wild. And we know, right, there's that illegal tampering period leading into free agency. Some groundwork can get laid. But then, you know, once that thing kicks off, things move very quickly. And I know things move really quickly with Jacobs to get him in the building. And then from there, when they just couldn't, you know, when the Packer front office could not come to a financial agreement in terms of reducing Jones's contract and taking it down to a number that both sides kind of found palatable, then that went quickly, too, in terms of getting him, you know, eventually releasing Aaron Jones. So, the fact Matt LaFleur wasn't in the room for that kind of stuff, for some of those decisions, it is a little surprising, Ebo. I'll say this, you know, and not everybody realizes this, you know, even with the draft going on pretty much this month and what's been going on the last couple of months, Ebo, Matt LaFleur doesn't have a whole lot to do with that, and neither do his coaches. When the NFL scouting combine was held about a month ago, Matt LaFleur and his coaches don't travel anymore to Indianapolis, and that's unique. You know, the majority of coaching staffs across the league go down and at least are in some way, shape, or form involved in the NFL scouting combine. That's not the case right now with LaFleur and his people. Brian Gutekunst is largely, you know, this is everything that stems to the draft, Ebo, is a Brian Gutekunst production. So he says Matt LaFleur is more valuable back home getting ready for the 2024 season. Well, I guess, you know, that's what winds up happening. But LaFleur did go to the draft, to the combine. The majority of his early years in Green Bay, he hasn't the last couple of years. Ebo, I find that strange, to be honest with you, because even if he's not gonna, break down some of these prospects, at least on the field, the off the field interview stuff is huge. And you know, you get 15 minutes in a room with so many of these guys, and that's pretty critical too. So to not have your coach involved in that, I always found somewhat interesting the last couple of years, Ebo. But, this is the way it works, Ebo, in some cities. You got a guy that puts together the roster. You got a guy that coaches them up and tries to win on Sundays. And that's clearly where the Packers fall right now structurally.
So, Rob, speaking of the draft, and, you know, I know the head coach is more hands-off, and it's all about, you know, Brian Gutekunst and his staff. Like a Cooper DeJean, he said that he's now cleared for, you know, football activities. He's going to be holding workouts in 4 days, I do believe April 8th, for people to come check him out at Iowa. I would love to see Cooper DeJean on the Green Bay Packers. I don't think he's going to be there, though, when it happens. I guess, is there any chance they could get Cooper DeJean? And B, who do you think the Packers pick with that first pick? Will it be a sexy pick or an unsexy pick, like a lineman on either side of the ball?
The remarkable thing about this draft, Evo, and really the fun and the fascinating thing, which is going to make that Thursday night 3 weeks from now so fun, is Green Bay could go in a lot of directions. I do think at the end of the day, now, Evo, they have picked 25, 41, and 58. Okay, so they've got three picks in the first two rounds. And then when you really think about it, they've got 88 and 91, too. They've got two third-rounders as well. It gives them a lot of ammunition up top to just stay pat and try to add three, four players that are going to have significant impact.
Now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Hang on to your tractors. Here's another update. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Yeah, I'm not real confident that I'll have a chance to see a perfect total eclipse today, but we'll see something. Partly cloudy skies on the way today. 63 are expected high. Winds out of the south-southwest, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 60 degrees. Clouds on Wednesday, 68. But then Thursday, rain back in the forecast, 59. And Friday, we'll wrap the week up, partly cloudy, 57 degrees. Thank you to my rainfall reporters from Burnett. Picked up about a tenth of an inch of rain as of last night. Caledonia, Illinois, Dan says also about a tenth of an inch of rain. If you want to chime in, use our talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. Over the weekend, the Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association had a very successful bull sale down at UW-Platteville and online. And that online feature has really changed up the way that beef producers across the United States are marketing their stock. Alan Art from Janesville, president of the Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association, says that's why they were a little nervous going into this year's sale on how response would be, but they were very, very pleased.
Marketing has changed. There's people selling bulls on the internet every day, and they're selling a picture. They're selling a haircut. They're selling a pedigree. But most of those, I should say some of those people, are selling bulls that don't have performance data gathered by a third party. So is he really all they think he is? He may be. And then again, he may have been pampered pretty hard to look good for that picture, and nobody really knows till you get him home.
Alan Arndt, president of the Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association, a Janesville beef producer himself. So on Saturday, they sold 55 bulls that averaged $4,835 per animal, $700 more than last year. Two of the top bulls sold for $7,000 each. The first was a Simmental bull that came from AA Simmental in Janesville, sold for $7,000 to Gill Brothers in Schulzburg. The second $7,000 bull came from Shawno and the Johnson Family Cattle Company and sold to David and Carrion Gallion from Spencer. That was a Red Angus bull that sold for $7,000. If you take a look at the overall breed averages, 29 Angus bulls sold for $5,043 on average, 12 Red Angus bulls sold for $4,062 on average, 6 Simmental sold, average price $5,330, 4 Simmental Angus Cross, average $4,187, the Charolais bulls average $6,625, 1 Simmental South Devon sold for $6,750, and a Hereford bull sold for $3,500. The bulls from this year's sale down in Platteville will end up on farms in Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Montana.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer. Nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Nice rally Friday in Chicago. Our barrel cheese gained 8 cents to 153. 40-pound block cheese was up 7.5 at 151.5. AA butter gained a penny, $2.94 a pound. This morning in Chicago, our Class 3 fluid milk that goes to cheese, May is up 11 cents at $16.52. The June milk's up 12 at $17.16 a hundredweight. Right now, December corn is down 2 at $4.70. November beans down a penny at $11.84. July wheat down about a nickel at $5.77 a bushel. You know, it's not going to be long before Wisconsin farmers are running in 7 different directions at once, trying to get spring planting underway. Relying on your employees at that time of the year becomes very, very critical to your farm success. Keeping those employees happy, challenging to say the least. Stephanie Hoff has more.
Linda Swindling is a professional negotiator. She got that title following her law school days, but she uses that power of negotiation to turn complainers on the job into team players. She says this is essential in a successful business.
If you can think about everything being a negotiation, but not everything's negotiable. Think about it, your ethics, your values for the workplace, those can't be negotiated. But if you think about negotiation, one of the things you can think about is, you know, how can I deal with the people that I do have and consider their interest, consider their values, consider mine as well, and how do I ask them for what I really want? And so that's the secret. You know, instead of demanding, this culture won't allow it, instead of doing that, here's the standards, here's what we need you to do, how can you do it, is a really good way around that.
Because a positive workplace, good culture, as they say, is where employees want to be. How do you get there?
Well, one of the things is you look for your contributors and you make sure you reward them. And then you look for those people that are causing the work drama. So one of the things that we found, and I've done lots of different surveys and studies, but one of the things we found is almost 80% of us are spending, are you ready for this? 3 to 6 hours a week dealing with negative people. 3 to 6, and that's a minimum. Some as many as 20. So if you roll that forward, that's a month to two of lost time almost. You can't do that. You can't run a workplace with one or two that are souring the milk for everybody, basically. Yeah, you can't do that.
Sure, anyone in an office setting may, you know, be thinking back to some of the drama they may have dealt with this week. On the dairy farm, though, it might be your own family. So you've got some interesting dynamics on the farm especially that might make addressing those problems a challenge.
There's some people you can't fire. You can't fire your mom, right? But what you can do is you need to negotiate in a way that they will listen, that it's covering a need. And what we found is for most people, not everybody, but for most people, when they're acting negative is when they're stressed. And when we're most stressed is when there's a need that hasn't been met. So for instance, if I like to make decisions and I'm not making decisions, I can look like a bulldozer or a commander or somebody who's really, you know, not behaving well, controller. If I need facts and details and all of a sudden I'm not getting them, then all of a sudden I can look like a complicator. You know, the biggest piece is how are they acting stressed? Here's this good person who all of a sudden is using negative behavior to get their need met. Or are they really, truly toxic? Most of us are just negative because we're stressed and we're trying to get a need met.
Who's responsible for reading your mind? Linda, if you're stressed out, I don't always know why. So is it my job to ask you or is it your job to tell me what's going on?
What a great question. My job is not to try to psychoanalyze you as a leader. My job is to say, you know, what's going on? You're supposed to be at this point, or you're supposed to have done these things, or you're supposed to have connected this way. What's going on? And then I'm listening. Is it something that is my responsibility as a leader to fix? You know, is somebody pulling you off on work? Am I giving you too much work? Is something not working? You know, the computer system isn't working. Or is it you didn't know and you have something else that's personal? I'm sorry that, you know, that your cat is sick and it's very important to you. Okay, so then my questions change to, wow, that is tough. With that going on, how are you going to deal with that?
This is advice that spans across industries, including agriculture. But, you know, I want you to underscore for me why it's important, especially in a farm setting, to have these communication tools, these negotiation tools, to keep a positive work environment.
First off, people in ag are actually providing food for the rest of us. So you need to make sure that there's nothing negative that's going on there, because sometimes people really will sabotage or do things. And more importantly, we're you know, that community, we're really connected. And whether it's your wife or your husband or your mom or your dad or your kids or, you know, your next door neighbor, this is a small community. Even across states, it's a small community. So when you have communities like that, you've got to be contributors. You've got to help each other out. And ag especially has to pull together now more than ever. Because, you know, in order to be competitive, it's going to take creative thinking, helping each other out, feeling safe, sharing real problems. You can't do that if everybody's negative and putting up guards.
Linda Swindling along with us. She's a professional negotiator who works with all industries, including agriculture, to help improve the workplace culture. She says a positive work environment can help you recruit and retain valuable employees. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Celebrate family, home, and the outdoors with Trex decking from Brunzell Lumber and Millwork. Trex composite decking is durable, long-lasting, and there's no finishing, rotting, cracking, or splintering. Plus, it comes in a variety of colors. Relax for a change, because while you're making your house a home, Brunzell and Trex is making your home a work of art.
Brunzell Lumber and Millwork.
Trusting someone else enough to pack up your stuff for the big move usually doesn't happen. Our employees are like family and have been with us for a very long time. You can feel comfortable with them packing things up and moving them. This is Brenda from Mad City Moving. We call that the All in the Family move.
Mad City Moving dominates any move. Their crew will handle your things, well, like your things deserve to be handled. Online at madcitymoving.com.
Mad City Moving. You haven't seen moves like this.
You've played Furniture Referee for years. Get your feet off the couch was your favorite call. Today, the house is all yours. Replace that old furniture with heirloom quality Portage furniture. Name brands with the kind of comfort that invites you to snuggle into it and claim your very own. And with customizable pieces, there's thousands of options to choose from.
Experience the difference at Portage Furniture, proudly located in historic downtown Portage, and portagefurniture.com.
Your forever furniture.
While you spent a lot more time around your home the last couple of years, you may have noticed a few things you'd like to have spruced up. Sign up for W.E. Davies Handyman membership, and they'll help you stay ahead of the maintenance and repairs with a professional result.
Boycott putting things off. W.E. Davies & Sons Remodeling brings a fresh perspective to your building project. We're a local family business with services from handyman fixes to living space upgrades. For stunning, transformative results, visit wedaviesremodeling.com.
A lady who knows overalls are fashionable every season.
Aren't you taking this a bit far?
The fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke.
Don't forget, tomorrow morning, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is going to be joining us to make all things clear as far as the markets go. I don't know that we're going to have clear skies today or the sunshine you might like for that total eclipse. Cloudy skies on the way, 63 are our highs today. Winds out of the south-southwest, gusting up to 20 miles an hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 60 degrees. Wednesday, we bounce up to 68 before rain returns on Thursday, 59. And Friday, partly cloudy and windy, 57 degrees expected by the end of the week. Well, as we ended up on a Monday, we want to focus in on one of the areas that Wisconsin is most proud of, cheese production. You know, we talk a lot about the different varieties of cheese that are produced within our borders. The fact that 90% of the milk produced within the state of Wisconsin ends up being marketed outside of the state. But none of it would be possible without the Center for Dairy Research, CDR. Housed on the UW-Madison campus, the Center for Dairy Research basically offers somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 years of expertise through 30 different researchers that are working on any number of dairy-related questions the industry might have. One of those that taps into the Center for Dairy Research, Ken Hyman, owner and operator of Nasonville Dairy and Cheese. That's off Highway 10 by Marshfield. He's also past member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors. And I had a chance to visit with him last week, talk a little bit more about what value he sees in dairy farmers in Wisconsin supporting the Center for Dairy Research through their dairy checkoff dollars and where the dividends really are.
If it wasn't for the actual
physical, mental, and everything that they offer to us down there at Center for Dairy Research. I do not believe that you would have 10% of the plants that are even in Wisconsin today. You know, we've lost a lot of dairy farmers. We have. We've also lost a lot of cheese plants. There was a time in life we had over 1,900 cheese plants in the state of Wisconsin, and we have 127 or something like that now. But and that doesn't count. And that in that number is a number that have also started up. What they do down there, the smaller plants like ourselves, I talked to us about before that we were running 7,500 pounds of milk when we came here. We didn't get here without help. And that help came in the idea that they have food scientists down there that maybe the big guys, the really big people of the world, they can afford to hire a food scientist. The majority of us cannot. And so we rely so heavily on those people. And when they see a problem coming, when they see a problem out there, they try to get to the root of the problem, and they try to make sure that the rest of us all know, hey, this could be a problem. You could see this in your feed stock that's coming to from your farms, and what happens there, you know, you'll see it, you'll see what happened, and you try to avoid those problems. And when you have a problem, you have someone to go to. And as long as you pay for the information that you receive, which we do, then in that turn, that information is proprietary. So when you ask them to do an experiment for you or take a look at how we could do this, if you pay for it, if they're going to do it and they have the time to do it, and it's for some, you know, some other reason, you know, then it's common knowledge, and that's just the way it is. It goes to anybody. Anybody can get the information. Mm-hmm. So they've always been very protective in that manner. The other thing that comes is by this Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin putting this money up front. It is always a Wisconsin plant, a Wisconsin cheesemaker. It is a dairy farmer from Wisconsin. We all get first priority. There is, if they, as you said before, will they help people from outside of the state of Wisconsin? Yes, they will. They will. They'll educate them. They'll take them to cheesemaking 101. They'll do all the things to educate their sales departments and do all this stuff. But everybody else in Wisconsin comes first. Mm-hmm. And so that's worked out really quite well.
Well, and you also mentioned the reason Wisconsin is able to maintain and enhance our Master Cheesemaker program also revolves around the Center for Dairy Research.
The Center for Dairy Research, Jim Pass, back in history, was the mantra of getting that program started here. And so we not only do we have the only licensed cheesemakers in Wisconsin, we have the only master's program. And if anybody would want to follow up on the master's program, you and I both know that you have to spend at least 1 year in the cheese industry before you can even apply for a license. And then after you can get your license, and then after you start into the programs, it's 10 years of making cheese in competition and so forth to prove that you understand what's going on. And then if you can do that, they'll accept you into the master's program if you qualify. And then after you do that for 3 years and go back to school and get an education and can pass the final exam, which takes between 25 and 40 hours to write.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the things, again, behind the scenes that a lot of folks may not realize about the Center for Dairy Research. And I'm assuming with your enthusiasm about CDR, Ken, that you're looking forward to what they're going to bring to the table going forward for your business model for all of Wisconsin dairy.
Just stop and think about it, Pam, or anyone listening. Stop and think about this. What do we need to do right now? What we need to do is we need to find out. There was a point in time when it took less than 0.5% of people said they were lactose intolerant. Now all of a sudden we get this entourage of 30% of the people are saying they're lactose intolerant. Okay, why are we getting this? Does it have to do with the A1, A2 ratio of milk in the proteins? Is it that we've created a harsher protein in the A1s and we need to do all of our farms need to adjust to A2, A2? Okay, is that the answer? Okay, are we also looking at the milk? Do we need to look at the milk and say we're going to remove part of the lactose and chemically change the other part of the lactose that's in there to glucose and galactose? That has absolutely, then it'll have zero effect on it. And there's a ton of these things that they're working on down there, and they continue to work on. I mean, You take the food scientists that we have down there, they're absolutely some of the most brilliant people in the world, and they are just absolutely stunning, you know, just stunning people.
Yeah, that basically sums it up. Like we said, if you've never thought about the benefits of the Center for Dairy Research, you can hear in this disciple, Ken Hyman from Nathanville Dairy, that it is worth every dime invested by Wisconsin dairy farmers through Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. Ken Hyman along with us from Nathanville Dairy. Again, folks, if you want to find out a little bit more about them, simple to do. Just jump online, nathanvilledairy.com, and you'll find out where they are right there in Marshfield and the depth of their business. And like we said, if you want to find out more about how Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is investing your dairy dollars into the Center for Dairy Research, go to Wisconsin.